Thank the Lord for each one that's able to be out to service tonight. And the devil has really been fighting me in this message. So if you would just say an extra prayer as we look into the Word tonight, I would really appreciate it. I am looking forward to the day when Jesus comes back. I'm looking forward to it. Are you? I'm looking forward to it because that's what I've told Renee different times. I said, when it comes my time to die, I said, I want you to remember that's what I've been living for. That's what I've been working for. That's what I'm looking for. We sing a song, I believe it's Bright Anticipation, and the song says, I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. And I am really looking forward to it tonight. It's going to be wonderful when Jesus comes breaking through the clouds. In the book of Acts, in the first chapter, if you will just recall without turning, that when Jesus ascended up into heaven, the disciples were there and it said they stood there gazing. And the angel of the Lord came and spoke to them. He said, men of Israel, why are you standing there gazing? You know, what are you looking at? What are you looking for? And the angel told them, in like manner, the Son of God or the Son of Man will return with clouds. As Jesus went up into heaven, so He is going to come back. And I am very thankful and I'm waiting and looking forward to that day when Jesus comes breaking through the clouds. And there's going to be this sound, and I don't know how it's all going to be, because I know there's symbolism and some things are figurative, but there's going to be the sound of a trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and it's going to announce the final message to mankind. And that message is, it's over. It's finished. It is done. And everyone that has been washed in the blood of Jesus, Jesus is going to gather them together and He's going to take us to the judgment. I don't want to go to the judgment by myself. You see, because there's going to be a resurrection. But the scripture says that Jesus, the dead in Christ, would do what? Rise first. And then we that we remain will go be caught up with Him in the air. Now some people say, well, there's going to be this, that was a rapture, it sure is. But they say that then others are going to stay on the earth. That's not what the Bible teaches. The scripture there in Thessalonians, in the first chapter of Thessalonians, and you can go do your research, but it's a fourth chapter, in the 15th to 17th verse, the scripture was speaking specifically to the people of God. He was not addressing the sinners. He was not addressing what was going to happen to those that weren't ready to meet God. He was giving the saints some comfort. And he said, you know what, the Lord's going to come back. And when He does, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those that are still alive, we're going to be caught up together with Him. And you know, the Lord then is going to take us all to the judgment. But the scripture also tells us, in John chapter 5, and let's just read it. John chapter 5, in verse 28 and 29, Jesus spoke and He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which that all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Jesus was addressing everyone in that place. He was saying, yes, there's going to be a final resurrection of the just to life. Those that have been washed in the blood are going to enter into heaven by way of the judgment. And those that are not ready to meet the Lord are going to go to the judgment and going to be entered into damnation. Eternal damnation. And so then, for those that are ready tonight, for those of you that have been washed in the blood, for those of you that your desire and your heart is fixed on the Lord tonight, Lord, whatever You want, I'm willing to do it. I'm going to live. I'm going to be part of that narrow way, brother. I'm not going to deviate from it. And it doesn't mean that maybe I'm going to make some mistakes sometimes. But Lord, this is where my heart is. And by the grace of God, if I make a mistake today, by your grace tomorrow, I'm going to do better. Because the Lord is there with us to enable us to live a life of victory, thank God. But I want us to remember in the words of our Lord, many of the scriptures in the New Testament point to the coming back of Jesus Christ. And while it is a time of rejoicing for the people of God, it is a time of celebration. It is a time that, Lord, we finally get to see your face. There is also a message to those that are not ready to meet God. And that message is that there is eternal destruction that is ahead of you. Tonight, the Lord is not a respecter of persons. And it does not matter where you have gone to church. It does not matter what your last name is. It does not matter that you have been in these four walls tonight. The Lord is going to judge us individually based upon the decisions that we made, whether we chose to follow the Lord with all of our heart or whether we chose to not follow Him at all, or maybe just this little lackadaisical, lukewarm, lazy fellowship with the Lord that doesn't work very well. The Lord is going to judge each and every one of us. So if you will turn with me then, and let's read the words of Christ. Mark in the 13th chapter, in the 33rd verse. Lord bless the preached word tonight. In Mark chapter 13, in verse 33. Take ye heed. Now folks, when Jesus says to take heed, we would do well to take heed. I know sometimes you can hear people say things and, you know, people have their hobby horses and they get on their soap boxes and they have all their ideas and opinions and, you know, you can just push the right button and they'll go and go and go. But folks, we're not talking about people like that tonight. When Jesus says to take heed, it means you better listen. And he said, take heed and watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. You don't know when the time of the coming of Jesus Christ is. None of us know when the Lord is going to come back. And Jesus said, watch and pray. And I wonder tonight, have you been watching? Have you been observant? Are you aware of what's going on around us spiritually? Folks, our world is getting in gross darkness. You don't have to have the radio on very long to acknowledge that we are living in a dark time. Yes, we're living in a dark time politically, but spiritually and morally, we are living in an incredibly dark time. And I don't know that there are many more prophecies that need to be fulfilled before Jesus comes back. We are ripe. According to the past of God's judgments, we are ripe for the coming of the Lord. And Jesus said, watch and pray because you don't know when He's going to come back. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Jesus has entrusted us with something tonight. He's entrusted all of us with the gospel. And he said, watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Have you been watching? The Lord is going to come back. And I asked Renee today, I said, how long do we keep preaching this message? How long? How long do we get up in with the foolishness of preaching? Paul knew what he was saying when he said it that way too. How long do we get up behind the pulpit or down in the pews or in the grocery stores, the people that we meet? How long do we keep saying, watch, because Jesus is coming back? The enemy would like us to be quiet about this topic. Because we have preached it. It's been preached for 2,000 years, but we are no closer to the coming of the Lord than tonight. And I don't want to give the enemy the power over my spirit. I don't want to give him power over my mouth to shut me up tonight, because the Lord is going to come back. And I want to warn you tonight, you need to watch. And if you are not saved, you are dabbling and dealing with eternal destruction, because your soul is at stake tonight. Do you know that it is, we like to think about the mercy of God. And I am thankful for His mercy, because who of us here would be saved if it had not been for His mercy? It was because I didn't deserve it, and the Lord said, I forgive you anyway. I love you anyway. We did not earn our salvation. We can never be good enough for our salvation. We can never do just right here and dress just right there to make us worthy of salvation. It is a gift of God tonight. But if you reject that free gift of God, there is an eternal penalty for rejecting the salvation of Jesus Christ. And we need to be watchful and praying, because the Lord is going to come back and we're going to give an account of our decisions in life. We're going to give account of how we live. We're going to give an account of the things that we have done. And so Jesus said, I say unto you all, He said, watch. In Matthew chapter 24, a very familiar passage of Scripture, the words of our Lord one more time warned us to watch. Matthew 24, we'll begin reading with verse 36. He said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till these things shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, just like it was in the days of Noah. So let's reflect for just a few minutes. What was it like in the days of Noah? There was so much wickedness. There was so much uncleanness. And yet there was still a preacher of righteousness that was warning the people, God's judgment is coming. But the people did not believe. And so they continued on. It said, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Why was it? Because in verse 38 it says, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. There's nothing wrong with marriage. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking appropriate beverages. But it was talking about life was going on, and they were consumed with the things of this life. They were consumed with wickedness. And we look around at our society today, and isn't that what we see? You know, we don't have to look very far, do we? It's hard. Oh, watch and pray. If this crowd could be here for next Wednesday night for prayer meeting, God bless this congregation. Watch and pray, because we're so busy. Well, there's so many things to do. There's so many things that need to get done. But our priorities, folks, need to be for eternal things. We need to put priority on the things of God, that we're putting Him first in our life. Above everything else, Lord, because I can't make it by myself. I need the Spirit of the Lord dealing with my heart. I want to come and sit among the saints and feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I don't ever want to get to a place that in our meetings we can go through service after service and not feel the convicting power of God. There have been times I felt the conviction so strong, it almost made me just want to go get saved again. Thank God for that convicting Spirit of the Lord. I want my children to feel that, because I want them to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. I need that to make me watchful and careful, that I don't allow things in this world to get in my life that are going to hinder my relationship with God. But there are too many tonight that are getting casual in their walk with God. And Jesus is saying, watch and pray, because I'm going to come back. And it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. And they did not believe until the day that Noah went in the ark. And you know what happened when Noah went in the ark? I've written on the board here. The door was shut. It was shut. And I just wonder tonight if you can just get this vision. Here's Noah out preaching, telling the people the judgment of God is coming. And they laughed and they mocked him. This is a foolish old man. You don't have to live that way, and you hear you're building an ark. It had never even rained before. Talk about foolishness. God's going to flood the earth. Doesn't that sound like people today? Scoffing, mocking, saying you don't have to live holy. You don't have to live like that. Young people, the devil's a liar. All right, let's just get it on record again tonight. The devil is a liar. Jesus is going to come back. And we do need to live a holy life, because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So Lord, I don't want my righteousness, but Lord, would you allow your grace in my life to enable me to abide in Christ, that the fruit can begin to be lived out through my life. And I wonder, at what point when the door was shut did the people become aware that I think there's something to this? How long did it take? Was it the first raindrop? Was it after the heavens opened up and it started raining, the people were like, this has never happened. And here's this big old ark over here. I doubt they were running for the ark at that point. Some of them might have been. But at what point, how high did the water have to get before they went and started knocking on the door? Hey, Noah, we need in. But folks, the door was shut. It was too late. They had had years of opportunity to pray. Tonight, how long have we had to pray? How many services has the Spirit of the Lord dealt with our life? And we sat. And we sat. And we went our way, comfortable in our little sphere. Comfortable in our little, you know, the atmosphere that we've created in our home and in our congregation. What is it going to take tonight to wake us up and say, Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm tired of playing games. How long? Because folks, the reality is this, and Lord help us to, by His Spirit, to communicate that the door was shut. And when the door was shut, it wasn't going to be opened ever again until the flood was passed. There's going to be a door that is shut tonight. And I wonder this evening, which side are you going to be on? There is an ark available tonight. There is an ark of salvation. There's a place of refuge in Jesus Christ. Holiness is not a bad word. Holiness is a place of safety and protection under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Holiness is not something that is forced on you. Holiness is not about tradition. Holiness is about the purity of Christ living in and through you in everything that you do and where you go and what you say. That's what holiness is. That's what we need. But Lord, help us. Which side of the door will you be on when the door is shut? There is a very familiar passage of Scripture, a parable that Jesus told. And because of time, and there's so many lessons in it, we're not going to just focus on all of it. But over in Matthew, in the 25th chapter, we read the story, the parable of the 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. These were not worldly people. These were people like you and like me. They were virgins. They were chaste. And it said that five of them were wise and five were foolish. Do you know that right there ought to be enough to put a fear on us? A godly fear. Lord, help me to be wise. Help me to be watchful. And they that were foolish took their lamps, and they took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels. And while the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. Folks, that's a recipe for disaster right there. We are living in a society that is spiritually sleepy and drowsy. And please don't throw stones tonight, but may I say that the enemy, Satan, is trying to rock God's church to sleep. Content with what we have had in the past. Living off of what the Lord did for me yesterday. Living off of what God did 10 years ago to try to make us begin to get complacent. Folks, we need to be watchful and prayerful because the Lord has a new blessing for us today. The Lord has a fresh anointing for us today, individually and as a people. But they slumbered and they slept. And the bride, at midnight it says there was a cry made. The message went out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the virgins rose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil because our lamps are gone out. And the wise said, you know, we can't do that. We just have enough for ourselves. Do you know tonight that oil is representative of the fire and the burning of the Holy Spirit in our life? We can have standards, we can have a good way of life, but if the Spirit of the Lord is not burning, if there is not the flame of the Spirit burning, folks, we are going to get in trouble with God. We're going to get in trouble. We need the burning fire of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And they didn't have it. It had become religion to them rather than relationship. What do you have tonight? Do you have relationship or religion? There is a need for people to have relationship with God. It's not about just doing it so everybody approves of me. It's about getting close enough with God that the natural consequence is the unity of God's people. Because we're all abiding in Christ. And so then the call went out and the wise said, we don't have enough. And they went out to buy. In verse 10 it said, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And then the other virgins came saying, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. The door was shut. Tonight, each and every one of us has the power and the freedom of decision. You don't have to follow the Lord. Young people, you can go out if you want, and you can sow your wild oats. But I want you to know that there is a consequence to sin. And there is coming a day that you will no longer have the power of choice. Because that door is going to be shut. Because God is going to take us at our word. He's going to take us and judge us based upon the decision that we made. Either we're going to follow Him or we're not. I remember one time many years ago, Renee and I were in Ghana, actually, and we were in as close to a mob, I think, as we have ever been in. We were trying to get into the airport, and the doors were shut. And there were masses, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people outside the airport, pushing and shoving, trying to get in. And every once in a while, an officer would open up the door about like this. And you know what happens when you have hundreds of people and they crack the door open to let just a few people in? Finally, I told her, I said, we have to get in. So I said, hold on close. Hold on tight and stay close. And I did what I had to do to get through the crowd, to get through it was, like I said, it was really close to a mob. And I slipped in the door, and the door was shut. And I turned around, and my wife was not there. I want us to know something tonight. The people that have been so integral in your life, that have loved you and prayed for you and been there for you, and been there even when you really didn't want to be around them and you really didn't want to hear what they had to say to you, there is a peace in knowing that they're still there. I know I can go back to mom and dad. I kind of get tired of hearing them sometimes, but I know when I get ready, there's someone that loves me and is going to be there to help me. You know, that door separated my wife and me. And there is coming a day. See, these virgins were separated. And they knocked on the door and said, Lord, open up to us. And he said, I don't know who you are. Yes, I know you sat with the others. You sat in the pews. Named Church of God's out there on that brick. That's not enough. And there is going to be an eternal separation that is going to break up families. Husbands and wives are going to be separated by the door of their decision. Parents and children are going to be separated because the door was closed. And this is not something to blame God for. Because do you know, as long as there is time between your pew and this altar, that door is still open. But there is going to come a day when there will not be time. Young people, I'm not just talking or preaching, hear myself talk now. There is going to come a day, and I don't know when it is, that there is not going to be time for you to get from your pew to this altar. Because Jesus is going to come back and the door is going to be shut. I went to the officer and I said, I need help. I said, that's my wife out there. And he opened up the door and let my wife in. But you know, God is not going to do that because he's giving us that opportunity right now. There's going to come a time when time stops. Those of you that have taken national tests, maybe in your school, and they say you have 45 minutes to take this test. And when the buzzer goes off, you put your pencil down. Don't fill in one more bubble. And if you think you can fill in one more bubble, they will take your test and you will forfeit the whole thing. You will get no credit for what you did because the time is over. Saints and sinners tonight, that time is quickly approaching. The Lord's going to say, put down your pencil. I gave you ample time to choose me. I gave you ample opportunity to say, Lord, I love you, but I'm still just kind of doing things my own way. Do you know it is so easy to make consecrations when you're on your deathbed? I won't ask for a show of hands for how many of y'all know what I'm talking about. What about parents? Have you ever had your children get really, really sick and you got desperate before God? What's it do to you? It makes you get sincere before the Lord and start examining your life and saying, Lord, whatever I need to do. That thing I know the Lord's been kind of talking to me about and I've just been kind of pushing it back. You get some little sick little baby and you don't know what's happening. You don't know if they're going to live or die. I'll tell you what, you're ready to make any kind of consecration God asks for. And I have noticed so many people make consecrations when they are desperate for God to do something. And at last, and then the Lord hears their prayer. The Lord heals, the Lord ministers, the Lord helps. And then a week later, they're back doing the same stuff they were. A month later, a year later, and I wonder what happened to the consecration. If Folks, this is our time to make a decision for the Lord. And that sounds secular to some people, but folks, I'm talking about a heart decision that will make an eternal difference when we say, Lord, I yield my life to you. The devil would like to paint a pretty picture of sin, but he does not show you the other side. Sin brings heartache. I have watched young people and old people on their deathbed, and I saw the door shutting. And I've seen too many reject the Lord when they were dying. And I wondered why. And it was because they had literally sat where you all sit tonight. And they acknowledged, I need to be saved. But they had rejected the Spirit of the Lord for so long in their life that even in death they just couldn't quite bring themselves to yield to the Lord. Whether you are young or old tonight, if you reject the dealings of the Holy Spirit to be saved or to clean up some things in your life, to obey the nudgings of the Spirit, there is a great danger because your heart tends to get harder. You tend to get more entangled in the things of the world. Young people, one of the greatest traps the devil has for you if you are not saved is to go out and marry someone out in the world that knows nothing about the Lord. Because he knows if he can get you in that kind of relationship, the devil's statistics and his chances have just gone way up. Because now you're not only saying yes to the Lord, now to follow the Lord, you've got someone else in your home that you're going to have to make some hard decisions and changes in your life. There is no better time to give your heart to the Lord than when the Spirit of the Lord is dealing, because there is going to come a time that the Lord returns and the door is going to be shut. And the mercy of the Lord is going to be gone. There's no more mercy. We won't take the time to read it, but if you will remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember that? And the rich man, it said he was in hell. Do you remember where he was? He was on the other side of the door. We talk about the joy of heaven, the goodness, the glory of it, and I want to go. But there's another side of the door tonight. The other side of the door is, it said, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. If you would just give me a little bit of reprieve. Just give me a little water to cool my tongue. In other words, I just need something to give me a little bit of peace in my mind and my spirit. But folks, the door was shut. God did not send him to hell. He sent himself by his decision. He chose to go to hell. We met a minister just recently, a few weeks ago, that had been to seminary, and I don't know what they're teaching him in seminary. But he was there and we had some teaching, and he said, I am so happy. He said, I didn't know you had a choice. You don't have to go to hell. You have a choice of where you end up, what side of the door. Folks, I think about this chapel and I just wonder, who's going to be on the other side of the door eternally? And he lifted up his eyes being in torment, and that's the penalty. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Young people, and I know I keep saying young people because now is the time to give your heart to God. You will save yourself. You will spare yourself so much heartache. It doesn't take very long of walking away, making a decision, thinking, I'll get saved sometime, I'll plan to come back. It will never be the same. It won't be the same. And so the rich man, he said, would you just let me go back and tell my brothers that this thing is real? Would we believe him tonight? If they would come among us, those that have sat in these pews, if they could come and witness to us tonight, would it make a difference for us spiritually? You know what I think? I think it would move us. But Jesus said, you know what? They had the prophets and they had teaching. And if they're not going to make a definite change, then, you know, you going back isn't really going to make any more difference. Because the Spirit of the Lord has been faithful to witness to each and every one of us tonight. And there is coming a day that that door is going to be shut. And when that door is shut, the Scripture says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Because He's going to judge everything in our life. We're going to be known exactly as we are, without defense, without cover, without justification. And there is a reality of eternal separation. If we could just hear tonight the door slamming shut in eternity, it's over. What would we do tonight? Is there anything we'd like to change? The Lord is coming quickly, and the Lord has set before us tonight. He has set before us life, and He has set before us death. And He's entreating us to make a choice, because there's going to come a day when that door of choice and that door of freedom is going to be shut. He testified, "These things saith, surely I come quickly." And John the Revelator said, "Even so, come quickly." Amen.